We all search for that spark which fuels our desire to fully engage in our lives. We look for the courage to experience moments where we can come alive instead of watching life pass us by. You're listening to The Front Row Factor, leaving fear and insecurity behind by exploring stories of top performers that are living life in the front row. Get ready to stand up, step up, and live it up with your host, John Vroman.
I know you're going to absolutely love today's show because I'm bringing to you my good friend, Mike McCarthy, who is the co-author of The Miracle Morning for Parents, the latest Miracle Morning book in the series. And if you have followed this show, you know that I'm friends with Hal Elrod, longtime buddies, and Hal generously donates a percentage of all Miracle Morning sales to the Front Row Foundation. In fact, if you open up that book, you'll see our logo right there and a note that every time you buy a book, a portion of that money goes directly to our charity. So if you are a practitioner, if you have purchased a book, thank you for supporting Front Row Foundation. In today's interview, we have a great conversation with Mike. And I have to tell you that just because this is going to focus a little bit on being a great parent, if you're not a parent, do not turn this off. These are great principles to live by personally. They're great principles to use if you lead other people. So here's what we talk about today. We talk about the six things you can do with your kids in order to get the day started off right and live a charmed life. We have a nice chat about education and the role we play as teachers and educators in our children's lives. We get into the six pillars of the GoBundance Tribe, which is a great checklist for your own life. We talk about what pulled Mike from a Great Depression and helped him grow his Keller Williams real estate team to over 6,000 agents. And we talk a little bit about the dad's retreat that Mike is going to be attending, and you may have heard about this. It's frontrowfactor.com/dads. We have an incredible group of guys coming together for a two-day live event to talk about how to be extraordinary fathers. This is just a world-class human being that we are talking to today. I'll tell you a little bit more about Mike. He's a serial entrepreneur. He's the co-founder of the GoBundance Adventure Mastermind Group I just mentioned. He's the co-author of The Miracle Morning for Parents and Families, which I just talked about. He's the co-creator of GratefulParent.com. He's an investor in a brewing company out of Florida, and he is the regional owner for Keller Williams Realty Greater Pennsylvania Region. That covers Delaware, Pennsylvania, and southern New Jersey. Now, I will tell you, because I know Mike well, that one of his top priorities in life is to be a great husband, a great father to their two amazing children, Tyler and Ember. In his spare time, Mike is an adventurer. He's running trails, he's kayaking, he's climbing mountains, and he's brewing his own beer. I'll tell you, he's a fun guy to be around. We've enjoyed some great long dinners together, some great concerts together, and I'm just always a better person when I hang out with Mike. He's a guy who can catch him on the snowboard in the wintertime, and in the summer, he's climbed 24 of the 54 highest peaks in Colorado, where he has a second home and loves to spend time with his family. This guy is one incredible dude. I know you're going to enjoy our chat. So ladies and gentlemen, here is Mr. Mike McCarthy.
All right, guys, I'm on the phone. Mike McCarthy in the house. What's up, dude?
Hey, how's it going?
Oh, well, there's a lot going on right now, man. It's book time. I'm about to head out on the speaking tour. I've got 11 speeches in the next 14 days. So that's my world right now.
You couldn't get 14 done in 14
man.
Days?
I know. Business is slow. What can I say? I don't work for Keller Williams, you know? Hey, but let's make this all about you. And I want to hear about what's going on. I know some of what's going on. A lot of people listening right now know what's going on because they're Mike McCarthy fans. But for those who don't, give us a little bit of a brag, man, a little look into your world and tell us what is positive. What is lighting you up right now? What are you proud of? Give us the brag.
Oh, thanks. So right now, I think the most exciting thing is the Miracle Morning for Parents and Families book that Lindsay and I literally just got the pre-advanced hard copies of, and we're in the process of signing them and sending them out to friends and family. So that project has gone from a idea to a tangible vision, holding a book in our hand within 7 months. So that's just been a, a roller coaster ride of not only emotions and partnership with my wife, but also just gaining wisdom and knowledge as parents that we can use and getting better at raising our children in the process of writing a book. So that's been really the thing that's most palpable right now in our world.
Mm. Yeah, and so many other things. I want to take this conversation in so many fun directions, but let's stick with the book for a minute because this is big and I'm really excited about it. I haven't asked you this question yet, but we've talked about the book a couple of times. I've been dying to ask you. So the book started, I'm going to guess, because there was a passion that you had for wanting to do this with your children. I mean, I think I recall you doing this with your kids before the book idea was ever came to fruition. So I'm both curious to what was the spark, when, you know, how did this all start? And then I'm curious, this is a two-part question. I'm curious as to how you developed as a parent from writing the book, because I know that for me, I sit down to like record a video or even working on my book. I've been working on The Front Row for 10 years, but when I sat down to write about it, I got so much more clarity. So I'm curious as to those two pieces, the spark and then the ahas throughout.
Yeah, great question. Well, I would say that the spark is something that came more from Lindsay than it did from me. And I think, you know, I'm really fortunate because I've got an amazing wife who is extremely capable in so many ways, but doesn't always believe in what she's capable of doing. And then me, on the other hand, is I believe I can do anything and I'm really not that capable. So so we have a really good just bond of strengths that we both bring to the table. But the spark came from Lindsay seeing Hal speak at the One Life Fully Lived conference. Would have been 2 or 3 years ago. There's another one upcoming in October this year in Sacramento. It's a great event. If you're listening and haven't heard of One Life Fully Lived, you should definitely check it out. But she was able to hear Hal speak at that event. And it was right after our daughter was born. And she had been doing a morning practice for quite a while where she meditated and journaled and did a little bit of soul searching and energy work each morning. But as our daughter was born, she got away from it and she really didn't feel like it was possible for her to have a morning routine anymore. And when she saw Hal speak on his struggles and the things that he had to go through and overcome, she realized that she really had no excuse but to dive in on the miracle morning and do it anyways, do it even though she was struggling and our daughter wasn't sleeping through the night and there were all these things going on. She just made a commitment to do it. So for a whole year, she just started doing the miracle morning anyways. And what happened was over time, she would get up and do her miracle morning. And the earlier she got up, it was like clockwork. After she'd been up for a half hour or so doing her miracle morning, the kids would inevitably either sense her energy or know something was going on in the house and they would wake up and come and distract her. And so she just started including them in the miracle morning, or we started including them in our miracle morning because I was doing it with Lindsay. The kids would wake up and come into our room and we would do it with them as well. And so that was sort of the start of the book, was just getting really clear on us being committed to our own miracle morning. And then rather than let the kids distract us or take us out of it, we would actually include them and started teaching it to them. Here's what we're doing. Here's why we're doing it. And what was great is that at some point during that process, Lindsay woke up in the middle of the night. So here's your spark. It literally came like a spark in the night, where she had a dream where she had come up with these poems that would help children to understand what the lifesavers were all about and what that routine looked like. And so she woke up in the middle of the night, she wrote out this huge poem of explaining each of the steps of the savers. And then the next morning when I woke up, here's what I wrote. I was like, yeah, I wondered where you went at 3 a.m. in the middle of the night.
Wow.
And she shared with me what it was and said, do you think Hal would be interested in seeing this? And I'm like, well, let's send it to him. So we sent it to him and his response was, you know, hey, would you guys like to write a book?
So great.
That was really it. That was the start of it. Was an idea in the middle of the night. And for Lindsay, the courage to actually write it and then share it with Hal was huge. That was a big step for her.
Well, you know, what's awesome is that you're acknowledging that, because I think that's just so brilliant to notice that when we have those moments of or those revelations or those ahas, the spark, to be able to take action on it, that's where the real momentum begins. And you're right, man, such courage. That was bold. And I love that action. It's so great. And here you are. I saw the picture on Facebook, man. You got a beer in each hand. Well, not you, but you and Lindsay have a beer in your hands. And, you know, you're cheersing to the celebration of your book. That's so exciting. I realized that one of the things that happens on this show, Mike, is that I'm just talking with my friends. And so we just sort of like break into like this conversations that we've been having for a while. But I recognize as I'm talking about this, I probably should have asked you to set up what is the miracle morning to begin with? And for anybody listening who may have never heard of it, I think there might be a few people out there. What is the miracle morning, or how do you describe the book now to somebody that is just brand new to this process?
Yeah, great question. Well, you know, I think the easiest way to understand it is that it's carving out time just for you every single morning before you do anything else. And in this world, what I've noticed is that there's a lot of people giving a lot and doing a lot and accomplishing a lot, but sometimes we tend to not give ourselves the time that we need to focus on ourselves and, you know, what I would call securing our own oxygen mask before assisting others.
Yep.
And so what Hal has done is he's really created a formula for how to train yourself to get up earlier so that you can give that time to yourself and focus in on the savers, which the savers are silence, which is meditation, affirmations, visualization, exercise, reading, and then scribing or journaling. And it's really just a cool combination of six things that some people do one or two, or a lot of people do two or three. But very few people are taking all six and systematically doing them every morning before they start their day. And I think there's some magic that happens when you do those and you give yourself that time and get your energy right. And then you can go and face your day with more energy and more enthusiasm for everything else.
So exciting, man. Speaking of personal transformation, I want to take a quick sidestep here and talk a little bit about your world. For anybody listening that doesn't know the Mike McCarthy story, I'd love to ask you about your back row to front row journey in your life. Where might there be a time period? Could be extended, you know, could be months or even years, but a period of time or even a moment where you had stepped up in life in a huge way. Because I want to come back to, so I want to go back in time a little bit, and then I want to start talking about what your world is, what you're doing now. So I want to get into Keller Williams a little bit. I want to talk about GoBundance, and I want to definitely talk about the Miracle Morning, and I want to talk about the benefits of that for children. And, you know, you and I've got this dad's retreat. We're going to be hanging out in October. The dad's thing, the parenting thing, it's hot on my mind right now. So I want to spend some time on that. But I also know that your journey of how you got to where you are is super important. So can you think of a time, a front row moment for you in your life that you could share?
Yeah, I mean, there's a couple of key moments and I'll be pretty brief on them, but I would say the first one is coming out of college, not knowing what I was going to do, and then uncovering an opportunity within Keller Williams to work with my father. And while working with my father at that point in time was the least likely thing that I was going to do because of my dad and I are very similar. And, you know, there's been friction, there's been tension, but to go in sort of what I considered at the time, swallow my pride and take an hourly paying job with him as his assistant, it only happened for really a couple of reasons. One is that I acknowledge the fact that despite our differences, that my dad had a lot to teach and that not everybody had a dad that was as successful as mine. So maybe I ought to really pay more attention to him. And over the years, what I've found is that anytime there was a challenge in my life, there was a lesson from my father that I didn't pay attention to. And so over time, you know, after making 10, 12, 30 or so of these bad decisions in my life, I started to realize that maybe my dad was smarter than I thought he was, you know, and that maybe he had more to give. And so it was that. And then also I went to some Keller Williams training classes. In fact, one in particular called Quantum Leaps, which was all about goal setting, personal development, living the best life that you're capable of living. And when I was in that class, I realized two things. One, that I could learn a lot about myself, leadership, and business by associating with an organization like Keller Williams. And that was very clear to me. And then the other thing was that this Keller Williams thing wasn't going to stop growing anytime soon. And I think I entered the company when there was about 15 or 16,000 agents right after college. And it was very clear that it was going to grow 100% or more per year indefinitely into the future. And for the most part, that was 100% true, because we're well over 100,000 agents and probably the second largest real estate company in the world by volume and in transaction counts. And by agent count, we're the number one largest real estate company. So I had an opportunity to learn from a great leader, my father, and to be a part of a great organization at the 1 yard line, and then work with them all the way down the field to a touchdown. And that was a defining moment, was just deciding like, hey, maybe you should learn from the people and the organizations that are right in front of you instead of chasing some opportunity that might be more aligned with what I thought were my passions at the time. So I think just that decision would be one of the biggest sort of moments where I started to move more towards the front row life that I have today. And I'll quickly give you the second one, which would be that I ended up being successful. I learned a lot from my dad. I became the regional director and replaced him. And he moved towards more of the ownership role with a lot more freedom and letting me learn through trial and error. And I was a young 24, 25-year-old regional director. And I basically looked like, for a young guy, I was crushing it at life. And inside, though, I had no happiness. I was not fulfilled. I was very ego-driven. And I was sort of like reading my own press clippings, if you will. And that caused me a lot of depression and a lot of confusion. And I kind of had a burnout phase where I just wasn't sure what I was doing or why I was doing it. I gained a bunch of weight. I met my wife at that time, and she actually married me when I was the most out of shape, the worst looking I've been in my whole life. And she, I guess she viewed me as a turnaround project. And so what happened, though, to change that was that I discovered a coach by the name of Janai Lane, who teaches from a method called the Spirit Coach Method. And it's basically energy work. It's on focusing on who you really are at your core, on trusting your intuition, on letting go of the past and focusing on being more in the present moment. And she became my teacher and my mentor. And I rebuilt my life with her and with Lindsay supporting me basically from the time I was married, which in September will be 10 years ago. So the decision to go back to basics and start over, not knowing who I was and sort of relinquishing some of my old habits, identities, and in my past, that was a big time gateway to who I am today and the transformation of being more in a front row lifestyle.
When you think about your time with, do you say Janai? Am I saying it right?
Janai.
What comes to mind as a critical lesson or a critical concept that you might be able to share with us today that somebody listening might be able to play with or put into practice or use in their world?
Yeah, well, it's totally obvious to me. So this is an easy question to answer.
Awesome.
And that is,
this is your only one, man. They're all tough from here.
Okay, good. Well, I'll get this one out then. So here's what it is that everything about me that is my behavior, my personality, my preferences, my strengths, everything was really created in a manner of speaking to protect me from something that happened in my past. So there's all these things that happened. I was picked last for this sport, or this girl didn't go out with me, or this kid embarrassed me or picked on me, or, you know, I didn't get enough attention from this parent or that parent. But in all of those things, there's some form of a wounding that happened where the ego said, hey, I need to protect this person from this, which could happen in the world. And so entire identities were born from, for me and for everybody, out of these moments. And they create our strengths and they create some of our weaknesses. And by the way, sometimes our greatest strengths are also our weaknesses.
Absolutely.
So the biggest lesson that I've learned is that, you know, we sometimes have to deconstruct everything about our decisions and the direction we're going in our life and really look at, like, well, what's really driving that feeling? Is it a feeling of not being enough? Is it a feeling of needing more? Is it a feeling of needing to win because you didn't win at some other point? And so when I investigate all of that, I realized something really interesting. And that was that all of these things that made me successful as a business person, like needing to control things and needing to be in charge and always being willing to be the leader and to put the weight of the world on my back and move forward, all of those things were actually born out of just some crap that happened to me. And while some of it is very empowering, at some level of success that I got to, I realized that I'd have to let go of all that. And a good example would be, if you want to have a big life and have a big business, you better not be a control freak. Because if you have to have your hand on everything, doing everything, then you'll only be as good as you are. And so I had to start letting go of some of that. So being less of a control freak, being less competitive, which sounds counterintuitive because these are big time strengths that most people would say, oh, that's a strength, keep doing that. But in me, it's acknowledging like that that's not me. I'm this infinite being with unlimited potential. And those constructs that I've created around myself actually on some level begin to limit me more than help me get to where I need to go.
So interesting, man. That's profound, and I appreciate you sharing that. When you brought up your dad a little while ago and how there was lessons that he taught you, also another great coach in your life, things that maybe at the time you didn't totally appreciate, but even probably now today you do. And I'm not trying to put words in your mouth, but I think a lot of us feel that way as we get older. We're like, ah, now I know what he was teaching us, right?
Yeah.
What's a value or what's an experience that you can recall with your dad that was profound for you, something that had a big impact?
Well, I would just say the fact that his intuition on who I should surround myself with and who I shouldn't was always spot on.
Mm.
And so that lesson of like, hey, you should do a better job of picking your friends and surrounding yourself with people who are doing things that you want to be doing. And unfortunately, that lesson didn't set in till a lot later in life. And now, obviously, I'm a big time preacher of you should surround yourself with the right tribe, the right group, and how that can impact you and all that we've seen through GoBundance in that happening. But early on, it was like, what do you mean, Dad? They're just my friends. Why would it matter? In some ways, I viewed him as being judgmental, like, well, who are you to so harshly judge these people? But in reality, there was a deep intelligence to what he was saying of like, hey, don't model the bad behavior and be around people that are going to bring more negativity or more direction the opposite way. Be around people that are heading the way that you want to go and start modeling after them. And, you know, at one point my dad said to me, hey, I met this guy named David Osborne who I've been working with, and I think you should try to be more like David. And so now David's one of my best friends, and we are a lot more alike than my dad would want us to be at this point. So.
That's great. That's so cool. Let's talk a little bit about GoBundance, man. You just mentioned it. I'm so glad you brought it up. I'm looking at the site right now. It says the tribe for healthy, wealthy, generous men who choose to lead epic lives. And then above it says, grab life big. So for anybody listening that doesn't know about GoBundance, I'd love for you to give a little preview to what that is and maybe share some of your favorite experiences or aspects of it. But before you do, I want to tell you about how when Hal first told me about GoBundance, I remember where I was, Mike, and here's exactly what he said. He said, John, I just got back from this trip with GoBundance, and he goes, these are our people. Like, except a few years down the road in some cases, like, these are guys who are really amazing people. They're really amazing humans, and they're crushing it in so many different areas of life, but they're really generous, giving people. And then somebody was actually describing to me Tim Rode, who we've had on our show, and I know is a very good friend of yours as well. But they were describing Tim, and they're like, John, you're going to love Tim. Tim's exactly like you. He might be a little nicer than you, but he's really an awesome guy. I remember the whole interaction and exchange was filled with energy and enthusiasm about your group and about your tribe. So do tell us a little bit about it.
Yeah, that's great. Well, you know, the simplest way to explain is just that we're a highly curated group of like-minded, hard-charging entrepreneurs who've made a commitment to not just be great at business, but to be really exceptional in every area of our life. So we've got six pillars in GoBundance, and we focus on them in no particular order. What they are is age-defying health, authentic relationships, genuine contribution, building passive income, going on bucket list adventures, and then the last one is extreme accountability. So we believe in being highly accountable in all of those areas. We have a couple of things that we talk about that is part of our culture is being very authentic. And what we say is that we do what we say and we say what we do. And so we really focus on just making great commitments and being super authentic and open with one another. We generally do trips that are extreme in some nature, hiking a mountain, heli skiing, skydiving, doing something that is adventurous, which creates a shoulder-to-shoulder relationship, which is very important, especially to men, because after they've experienced something shoulder-to-shoulder like that, what they're able to do then is in the evenings at our events, we do high-level masterminding and they're face-to-face now. And that environment of adventure, focusing on being great people in every area of our life, and then being really open and authentic has just created this huge group of guys. We're 130 strong now that are all over the United States and Canada. And we just support each other in grabbing life big. And specifically, we have a saying also in our group that is, we don't apologize for being awesome. And nice. The reason that we say that is because if you are a top performer or you're the best at what you do in your city or your region or your company, there's probably some sense of loneliness or that maybe you're a little misunderstood. And typically, we find that most guys shrink a little bit and play a little smaller instead of really rising up. And so we've created a group that expects you to be awesome, allows you to celebrate being awesome. But at the same time, we call each other out when we're not in alignment with what we say we're going to do.
You just said one of my favorite words there, buddy. You talked about celebrating. And how do you go about celebrating your awesomeness?
Oh, wow. Well, one way is just by sharing what I've accomplished in private groups. So, you know, I set big goals and I usually achieve big goals. I'm probably not going to post that on my regular Facebook page or show up at my family reunion and be like, hey, guys, I just hit another milestone, and people are rolling their eyes like, is this guy greedy or selfish or just delusional, right?
Yeah. Yep.
And so what I do is I've got a group of guys, the elders of GoBundance, and we celebrate each other's wins and our accomplishments. And then also in our private Facebook group for GoBundance, that's a place where if we have a huge win, we'll go and post it there. where it's really expected that we do that. That way we can be celebrated and celebrate what we've accomplished.
Mm. It's so great, man. I think that's so important for people to think about how they can do that in their world a little more often, because I think celebration is one of those things that we're suffering from a lack of. The right, I want to call it the right type of celebration, you know, and in the right places. But that's really powerful. I love it. Do you ever find yourself when you're around these guys, or do you find that it's a topic that comes up about jealousy? You know, and is that something that the tribe ever addresses or talks about, like how jealousy can sort of creep in to that when you're surrounded by people that are playing at such a big level, that do people, if they're not careful, does that impact them in a way that's like, look at all the things I'm not doing or not becoming? And how do you cope with that?
You know, I think it's really in direct proportion to the jealousy would probably be more prevalent if the people that we were jealous of weren't reaching down and offering their hand to help bring us up to where they were. And I think that's how you circumvent that, because even for myself, it's really easy for me to get a little bit like annoyed with somebody who's just totally crushing it, especially though if they're being a little bit egocentric and they're not willing to help anyone else get there and they feel they're somehow above everyone else. We don't have a lot of that in our group, because one of the key pillars of genuine contribution is that, you know, if in our group or even in my world, so forget about GoBundance, if somebody is only wanting to take and not give and not be a part of contributing not only to our community and to maybe whatever partnership we're working on, or to each other's lives, but they're just wanting to take, then that's not going to be a relationship that's aligned for me or for our GoBundance tribe.
Congratulations on what you've built with that group. And I know several of the guys that are part of GoBundance, and it's really remarkable. And I really tip my hat to you. And I thank you for that, because that is good for the world. It's fun to see things that you felt in your heart one time in real life being performed. Like, I remember Hal and I talking about a group like this. And when he told me about it, I was like, you just articulated what we've been talking about wanting in our world, but somebody else put it into play. And that's fun to see. So congratulations to you, man, and all the guys that have made GoBundance such a strong group of men.
Yeah. Thank you.
I want to talk a little bit about, I want to circle back to the book for a moment, because part of contribution, part of developing a community or a culture in your family, your personal tribe, if you will, I think is part of what I feel is so powerful about the Miracle Morning, is this time with our children and instilling some of the things at a very young age that you want your guys to experience in GoBundance. So talk to me a little bit about how the Miracle Morning for parents is helping children. What is it that you're teaching them? Because there's a different, it's not the savers, right? It's charms.
Yep.
So walk us through a little bit about what that looks like. So if there's somebody listening, and I would encourage you, if you're a parent, you're going to absolutely eat this up. But if you're not a parent, don't tune this out. Because what I want you to get, if you're not a parent, is the system that's being talked about and the concept itself, not necessarily the details of who it's applied to, but what the value is behind the activity. So walk us through a little bit of the morning routine for the kids.
Yeah, absolutely. So in Hal's book, he talks about the lifesavers, because the acronym SAVERS are the six things that Hal bundled that he did every morning that helped him save his life. And what was interesting is, as we started to teach the SAVERS to our children, my son Tyler, who's now 7, he looked at my wife and said, "Why does my life need to be saved?" And, you know, that's a pretty profound like thing for a 7-year-old or 6 at the time to be like, well, why am I saving my life again? And so Lindsay realized that children are not tainted and ruined by the world yet. Like, they don't need to be saved from themselves or from the world. You know, we're starting fresh with them. So she ended up having them come up with what they thought the saver should be and redefining some of them. So what they came up with, this was something that we did as a family, actually Lindsay did with the kids as a family, was to come up with it. So they came up with the charms. And so the charms start with creativity. So for kids, that's much easier than, let's say, writing or scribing, is to just be creative. And so we just have them play or do something where they're drawing, painting, you know, anything that's creative. And so that's their first step, is the C for creativity. The H stands for health. So rather than exercise, what was really important to us for our children in the morning is that they get a healthy breakfast and that they maybe do a little exercise. But the most important thing was just eating healthy. And so we categorize both eating healthy and getting a little exercise into H for health. The affirmations we kept the same. So we have our kids do affirmations where they have a different word for every letter of the alphabet. And then we actually created a little booklet for them to go through and write, I am awesome, I am brave, I am cool. And then what they did is on each page, they wrote it out and then they drew a picture of them being whatever that adjective is.
So cool.
So they do the affirmations and then they do reading. And that could be either us reading to them or Tyler reading to his little sister or Tyler reading to himself. And then M is for meditation. So we felt like teaching them that this is meditation, and then we do guided meditations or they just do silence for 3 minutes. We vary it. And then the last one, which is really cool, is service. So we have our kids every morning, they'll do something helpful for the family or for each other. So it could be part of their chores, or it could be something in addition to kind of whatever they're doing for their chores. But for them into some way to look at it and say, okay, how can I serve or be of service to others? And so in a lot of ways, and I'm sure Hal would not want me to say this, but I will anyways, you told me we could edit parts of this. In some ways, I think that charms almost makes more sense in general than savers. And the reason That's awesome. is because there's a lot more flexibility and things you could do in there. But I look at it this way, is you mentioned, like, even if someone doesn't have kids or whatever, but think about just living in that state of charm where what if you were being creative more, you were making healthier choices, you were affirming yourself and others more, you were reading, meaning reading situations, reading what's really going on with people, looking for deeper meaning. And then also meditation, if you were moving through your life more present, more grounded and connected, you know, what would that look like? And certainly if you were looking for ways to serve as you move through your life. So to me, we're really thinking about in terms of like living the charms in any given moment as possible. So I think from that regard, the savers are great. They're something that you do in the morning and it jumpstarts your day. But I really view the charms as a lifestyle, a way to live in general.
So great. It's fantastic. I can imagine there's parents listening right now, and tomorrow morning, they're all over this. So it's exciting to think about, man. I even haven't done this yet, but envision putting this on our chalkboard in our kitchen and just having it be right there, constantly looking for, even for Tatiana and I, as a reminder to ask, what are we doing to help Tiger be more creative, or what, you know, how can we talk to him about his health? I think it's just great, man. It's fantastic. Do your kids gravitate towards one more than the other? Do they do them all every morning, or how do you deal with the mornings that they don't do them, or how consistent do you try to make this?
Yeah, so we do have a charms tracker that actually I think is available for download somewhere on Hal's website that we use. And you know, the rule in our house, which, you know, we follow our rules about 75% of the time, just so we're being transparent here, is that the rule is that in our house, if you want to do electronics, iPad, movies, computers, then you have to have completed your charms. So even for our three-year-old, we just almost pretty much we stick to this all the time, that if they want to use those electronics, they need to do their Miracle Morning first.
Yeah. Mike, if the book does what you hope it does, you know, 5 or 10 years down the road, what impact would you love to see this have? What are the stories you would imagine hearing? What's the vision? What's the why behind this for you?
Great question. So we're a homeschool family, And trust me, I don't think my wife was like, hey, you know, I'd love to be in charge of the education for our children forever. I don't think that was like exciting to her because it's daunting. But we live a lifestyle where we have a second home in Colorado. I'm a huge snowboard guy and backcountry snowboarder. I love the winters. I travel a lot for GoBundance because we do events all over and for Keller Williams as well. And so what we realized is that when we went to the public schools and even some of the private schools and said, hey, here's what our lifestyle looks like. And what we need is a school that's willing to be flexible and understand that our children will learn more by being with us on these adventures than they will sitting in a classroom. And everybody looked at us like we were crazy. Yeah. I mean, it was like, what do you mean you're not going to have your kid in school every single day and you're not going to follow this traditional route? And so we realized really fast that we were going to have to do something different. And so, you know, we investigated and found a school that would support our homeschool that was super flexible. And the reason I share all that is because in that process, what we really uncovered, and it's a common theme with most of our entrepreneurial friends, is that most of us would not allow some big government institution to handle our investing or handle our healthcare or handle anything that was really that important, because you know how much faith we have in the bureaucracy that we live in. But for whatever reason, we're still all trusting that same bureaucracy to raise our children for us and to teach them what they need to know. And so here's what I would like to see the book accomplish, is that people understand that formal education is just a small part of what a child needs to know. And then there's this huge aspect of life that children do not get taught, which is personal development, financial literacy, relationship building, some of those things which are totally void from our education system. So I would really like to see families who are empowered to start teaching their children and learning for themselves those 3 to 5 things that are crucial to life that aren't taught in schools. And I would like to see our book empower parents and families to start learning and growing together and personally developing themselves and their family so that they can live better and better lives without relying on the system to provide that for us. And maybe eventually the system will realize what it's not providing and start providing it, because that would be truly exceptional if we could change in some way education in our country.
Wow, man. Well said. That is an inspiring vision. And I appreciate that so much. I've been working hard lately to embody some of those principles that you just talked about with owning Tiger's education and Ocean's education. I'll put him in there too. But I just had this conversation with Jim Shields, who we're going to be hanging out with in October for the Dad's Retreat. And Jim is totally passionate, as you're aware, about this education piece. And we had a great conversation around it. I think this is showing up a lot in my world, to where it's getting me to think differently now about my title, not just as dad, but as educator or teacher or guide or whatever word I want to toss in there. But even our conversations, like Tatiana and I just recently, I mean, I'm talking hours ago. So she's in Russia, as you know, and spending a couple of months over there. So I get the whole lifestyle thing. Tiger's actually enrolled in a school where we had to make sure they were cool with this, because I'm like, hey, my son's going to be 2 months late to school. And he's like, yeah, it's great. It's awesome. He's in Siberia. He's going to be learning more there than anywhere. I was like, this is awesome. So they're Skyping him in. So like, he's meeting the class by getting Skyped in. But anyway,
that's great.
The whole idea is that, you know, that Tatiana and I are talking about, I said, hey, what are we going to teach Tiger this week? Like, we're the teachers, right? What's our lesson plan? What experiences are we going to create? What's the intent behind that? How are we going to help him to realize or experience a value? Maybe it's just by simply asking a question. Like, sometimes it's in intentional questions that we go in with, or thinking about, how can I turn this into a learning opportunity for Tiger? How can I spark that curiosity? Like, what was, when I'm asking questions like, what was neat about that? Like, what was fun about that? What was challenging about that? Or even at the end of each day, reminding myself that part of what I want to do is create that growth mindset with Tiger, and being able to say things like, Tiger, you know what I love about you is, And then I just would rattle off things like, I love how you face that problem. And I could see that you got frustrated, but then you found a way to calm yourself down and you pushed forward. But I realized that all of those little conversations are what really, that's what's going to stick with Tiger. That's what's going to help shape his world. And I haven't always been that I haven't played that role. So I think this is huge, man. I really love it. All right. I got a deep question for you. At least I think it is. So, you know, your kids are turning 18-ish and, you know, they're leaving the house and they both write you a letter. And that letter is a thank you letter. What do you hope to read in that letter? What's the essence of it? What do you hope that letter says?
Wow, that's a great question. I know you love hearing that too, which is why you asked it. So here's what I would like to, I would like them to say that they love me, that they appreciate what I've done to equip them in the world and to help point them in the right direction, that they believe in themselves and that they have confidence in their abilities because of the way that Lindsay and I have raised them, and that they are committed to sharing their talents and gifts in the world in a meaningful way that will therefore somehow impact the world in a positive way. And the last thing that I would say, I would want them to say is that we did a great job, that they love us, you know, and that they can see the effort and time that we put into helping ready them for the world.
Well, brother, from my vantage point, I think you're doing just an exceptional job. The time that I have spent with your kids has been fantastic. They're just a bright light. And I sense that confidence, that curiosity, that connection they have. It's really fun to be around your family. And thank you. I want to say this once again. I'm telling everybody that Mike had this great mastermind, this family mastermind at his house. And I was out traveling, but Tatiana came over with our boys. And that was just such a great gift that you gave to my family, that you've creating this community, you're opening your arms up and bringing people in. And because of that, you've had a direct impact on my family. And I'm really appreciative of that. That's awesome.
Oh, thank you. Well, it's been great to get to know you and your family. And it's really awesome when you've got like-minded people that view life in a similar way that can go do fun stuff together. And then when you can actually include children in that, it's just really awesome.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Fun question. What's one of your family's annual traditions, something unique, cool, fun, something that you guys do that's every year just shows up? Could be holiday or not.
Every year we go skiing in Colorado. So that's low hanging fruit there. That's the one I love most.
Yeah.
But I would say another thing that we do is we stuff a ridiculous number of Easter eggs and hide them all over the yard. And then, yeah, I think I just found one the other day.
That's
actually
great.
That was still out there.
So. How many Easter eggs? Like, I mean, are we talking like 25 or are we talking like 250?
We're talking at least 250. It might be in the three or 350 range, but we do a lot. Yeah, a lot. I tend to do this thing. I'm sure it's hard for you to imagine because you know me, is that I tend to overdo things. In every possible way. Yeah. And my wife is, her whole goal is to just try to dial me back. She does a pretty good job of.
Oh, that's so great, man. That just makes me smile so much. Oh, man. Well, hey, I know we're getting to the end of our time here. Mike, I just am so grateful for you just spending this time with us. I'm so happy for you with the book. I'm so happy for the contributions you're making to the world. I'm excited that we're going to be hanging out for the Dad's Retreat in October. So many great things on the agenda. I'll be at the One Life event. You mentioned that earlier. So if people want to check out the One Life event, that's it's onelifefullylived.org. We'll link to that in the show notes. Fantastic organization, nonprofit. And if you're interested in the personal and professional development space, this is an event you want to go check out. So sounds like you'll be there in Sacramento.
Yep, I'll be there. And I think giving one of the keynote speeches along with Brother James. So.
Nice. That is fantastic news. Well, then likely I'll be able to, we'll be spending a lot of time there. That's great.
Yeah. Hey, I wanted to thank you and acknowledge you for putting together this dad's retreat, because just like me, I have this vision of bringing families together and working with families, but specifically dads, and creating an event just around dads, I think is genius. And the lineup of guys that you have coming to that is remarkable. So, and by the way, thank you for throwing it in Philly. I know you, you looked all over to find a place that was 30 minutes from my house and settled there. So that's great. But it's just a great event. I can't wait for it. And I'm just super excited to see what we can all do by focusing on being great dads for 2 or 3 days at a time, because we probably normally focus on being great dads like for 30 minutes every couple of weeks.
That's right.
So yeah. Funneling it all into that environment with those people around and leaving with some tangible ways to be better fathers, there's no price you could put on an event like that. And I'm super excited for it.
No, like you said earlier, it's accountability. And honestly, I cannot truthfully say that I would take 2 days of uninterrupted time to sit down and work on being a dad if it wasn't for having the accountability of this group of guys and this time that's carved out and this schedule that's there. And you know what else I love about it, Mike, is I love that I can tell my son that I'm doing this. Like the other day, I wrote him a letter. So I wrote Tiger a letter, and I was reading it to him over the phone. I said, "Hey, I wrote you a letter, buddy." And I just started reading it. If I had it, dude, I would read it to you right now.
I'll wait.
I've never read it. Right, exactly. It's around here somewhere. Maybe I'll actually post it in the show notes. If anybody comments about that, I'll know you want to read the letter. So I wrote him this letter, and then I was reading it to him, and he was just lighting up on the phone. And one of the things I was communicating to him is I said, "I want you to know that I'm taking 2 days out of my life this year, and I'm investing that time to work on being a better dad." And then I was like, "Do you know why I'm doing that?" He said, "No." And I said, "Because I care so much about you, that you're so important to me, that I literally am going to get together with these other dads and we're going to talk about how can I do a better job." So I said, just like you're trying to do a better job learning how to do math, or you're trying to do a better job, you know, in this area or that area, I said, I'm trying to be a better dad. You know, sometimes I make mistakes, buddy, and I'm not perfect as a dad for sure. But the one thing is true is that I know I really want to be great for you, and this is my chance to do that. So he loved it. Like, he knows that now his dad's going to go do this thing with the intent of being better for him.
That's awesome, man. And it's the vulnerability of that that's so special, because I mean, I don't know about you, but when I was a kid, parents were not vulnerable in any way, shape, or form. They had the whole world figured out. And I think that being super vulnerable with our children and sharing with them where we're actually at and what we're actually doing is just empowering to them, because they're being treated in such a way where they can handle the information and are respected as such. In fact, there's even a story in our book that Tyler, when we were on one of our family board meetings, you mentioned Jim Shelis, who, by the way, also wrote the foreword to our book. So I'm glad you
mentioned Jim. And that's awesome.
He's amazing. But when I was on one of my first family board meetings with Tyler, we were having this moment in the garage where I was feeling this deep gratitude for him. And I was feeling it because I realized in that moment that I would never be able to love as deeply as I'm capable of today if Tyler hadn't come here to teach me that lesson. And so I told him, I said, "Hey, Tyler, I want you to know something, buddy. I want you to know that you've been one of my greatest teachers." And he was like, "Really? What with what?" And I said, "Well, buddy, you taught me all about love. You know, before you came, I really wasn't sure what love was, and I had a harder time loving myself and others. But after you came, you opened me up to that, and you helped me to love so much more." And I walked over to where he was, and there was a step ladder in the garage. And he stepped up on the ladder sort of instinctively, and he gave me a hug, but he was taller than I was at that moment. And there was this incredible like role reversal that happened where he was so proud that he had taught me something and that he was valuable in the world other than just being a child and being my child, that he was also a teacher and somebody who could teach others. And that vulnerability that you showed and that I feel I showed with this interaction, it really helps them to understand that, you know what, we're people too. We're growing and learning just like them. And if we take that parenting figure off of the pedestal, we put them down in reality where they are as human beings who make mistakes and live and learn, man, that really opens up a different dimension for a child-parent relationship.
100%. Absolutely. Man, that story just gives me chills. And I love talking about this. Man, this just feels like such a good thing, because when I just by bringing attention to this subject, man, I'm going to have a better conversation with my boy today. Like, this is awesome. Thank you.
Yeah, of course.
Couple questions I want to leave you with here, Mike, before we sign off. And I know that you probably know what's coming, so let me hit you with a good one. When it's all said and done and you're at the end of your life, when you look back, what do you want to be most remembered for?
Making people laugh.
You've done that like 12 times for me on the show, so I think great job.
Yeah, I think that and everything that goes along with that. So somebody that could connect with people and bring levity to situations and to life, because everything is so serious, including me. I'm way too serious a lot of the times. But, you know, I feel like making jokes is something that I got in trouble for when I was younger. And it's really helped me in life, because bringing levity to a situation, I think, has incredible value. And so there's all these other things I could answer. I want to improve the world, and he was a great leader and, you know, a visionary, and all. Then my ego starts getting involved, like the best entrepreneur that ever lived or whatever. But strip all that away. I just want to make people feel good. I want them to remember me as somebody who made them feel good about themselves. And whether that's just them laughing or them seeing potential in themselves that they didn't know they had, and believing that they can do something so that they finally go out and do it. To me, that's my life in a nutshell. And that would be something I'd be very proud of.
Well, you know, it's interesting, man, is I want to tell you how that is actually showing up for me right now. In other words, I think your vision is, and your hope is actually very true for me. Let me give you an example. When I entered this year, I didn't predict the impact that you would have on my world. Like, I never saw that coming. And I think that's what's great about every year. We're terrible at predicting the future, right? I mean, just look back and we're terrible at predicting the future. I would have never been able to predict with accuracy 12 months ago, this conversation, our relationship, how much it's developed. And I'm so appreciative of that. In fact, when I think about this year, Mike, somebody that's really been in my corner, I think of you. I think of you as being actually somebody that is chiming in on, whether it's on social media or shooting me a text message or a word of encouragement or whatever it is, you're somebody that immediately stepped into a front row position where you're kind of cheering people on. And it is fresh in my mind because I just wrote about this. This is chapter 7 of the book, which is all about who's in your front row. You know, it's your top 8. It's the people that, you know, look, you can have 1,000 at your concert, but there's only 8, you know, there's only so many front and center seats. That's it. You got to choose. And, you know, I think it's so interesting how very quickly somebody can come into your life. And 12 months ago, you didn't know who they were, but then very quickly they can be in a position where you know that meant the show. They're singing, they're dancing, they're cheering you on, and they're letting you perform at your best. And they're respecting your art. And I think that they're reflecting back to you the energy you're hoping to give off. And it's like when I'm at a speech and I see somebody in the audience and they're like nodding their head in acknowledgement, like, hey, we're connecting here. I get that. Great job. Yeah, that's a good point. Or even if it's like, hey, I don't agree, it's still a conversation. It's still a great dialogue. And I just want to thank you for being somebody that really showed up this year. Dude, you've made me laugh. We've had great dinners with our wives. We've had great experiences together at live events. And I know that this is just the beginning of so many other great memories. So thank you for that.
Yeah. I mean, we have a whole lot of runway left ahead of us. And one thing I can tell you without a doubt is the reason that new relationships are so great. And by the way, if I could make one relationship like this every year for the rest of my life, I would be more than fulfilled. But I feel like between you and your buddies John Berghoff and brother James and Hal and John Rulick, but like, I feel like this instant kinship with your tribe, and I know you guys are now meeting our GoBundance tribe. So there's all this synergy going around where we're all these little communities that are coming together in some way with a connection. And it's so exciting. But the beauty of new relationships is this, John, is that you've probably grown a lot in the last year.
No doubt.
And sometimes the people that we see every day and who've known us for 10 years, they just assume we're the same person we were 12 months ago. So they end up inadvertently reflecting back to us the person we used to be, which can be kind of frustrating because you're like, yeah, dude, but I got over that. You know, I worked on that and you're not seeing where I am today. And it eventually catches up. There's a lag where they see you enough, they see you in enough situations. So they start reflecting back to you who you are today. But when we're always growing, it's great to have those new relationships because they immediately reflect back to you who you are today, not who you were 12 months ago or 10 years ago when they met you.
That's right. Man, that is such a big idea right there. Everybody listening, I want you to totally feel that for a moment because that in our evolution, right, in our growth, it is so important to know that even people we love will treat us like they remember us yesterday and not because it's malicious. It's because that's the way their brain is working. They're just bringing an old story into a new part of life, and that's not always healthy. So you're right, man. Those new relationships, so cool. You know, that's why these events that you and I go to a lot are so powerful because it's a lot of our friends that we know, but a lot of times it's new friends. Every time I go to Best Year Ever with Hal, it's like I meet a whole ton of new people. I see some old friends for sure, but always new connections. Hey, speaking of resources to grow, what's a book, a documentary, or even an action or some resource that you could offer to the group to leave with today to say, guys, go do this. Here's a step. Here's a book. Here's a resource.
I mean, I would say go watch the movie Finding Joe, which is all about the hero's journey and this understanding that all stories follow a similar pattern where there's a hero and they have trials and tribulations and they meet mentors, they slay dragons and fears, and they conquer whatever it is they're meant to conquer. And then they return back to their village with a message and a story. And I think for me, the hero's journey framework helped me to really wake up to the fact that, you know what, I can live in a fantasy and watch all these other movies and stories and TV shows and soap operas or whatever, or I can just realize that the real action, the real story is the one I'm living right now. And then it's really on me to rise up and become the hero that I need to be so that I can write the story, star in it, and direct this story that's my life. And there's no better way to understand the hero's journey than to watch that movie, Finding Joe, which is just a great movie. In fact, I think you can even just get it online for $5 if you just Google Finding Joe. It's very inexpensive and a great movie to watch.
Cool. We'll link up to that for sure. Mike, what live event would you most want to see front row? And let's go past and present. So it could be something that's happened in the past or something you could still see down the road.
Yeah. I mean, I would love to have seen Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
So I think that's one that I would like to have gone to. And, you know, I would have said a Denver Broncos Super Bowl victory, but I checked that off the list in February. So
nice.
So I don't need to go there. But, you know, I have one electronic music group called Above and Beyond that play all the time. I've seen them 4 or 5 times and they're fantastic, but I love the energy in those shows with people dancing everywhere, and they give a great music and a great message at the same time. And so I'd love to go see them in like Australia or some far off place. That would be exceptional.
You know, did I ever tell you about the movie Beats for Tanner?
I don't think so.
So you would love this, man. Just knowing that you like that style of music, definitely check out Beats for Tanner. It's a documentary made about a former front row recipient, Tanner Seebaum, who would have just celebrated his 20th birthday. And he was actually, he was featured in the Today Show clip that's on our website. And it's just, he's got an amazing family, such a powerful young man who is a big fan of electronic dance music. And when the doctors let him know that, you know, they said, hey, if you want to do something, now's the time to go do it. And this is a movie about his journey to like the stage where he was performing with some pretty big names, like even like a big Vegas party. And he just found that he lit up, man, when he was in front of that crowd playing music and inspiring this audience to move. And it's a great documentary, but that I just could see you really enjoying that. So yeah,
I'll check that out.
Beats for Tanner. Awesome. Mike, to be respectful of your day and let you get back to your family and all of your adventures ahead, any final thoughts for the Front Row community? Anything we didn't talk about today that you'd like to make sure that they hear or they know about?
I think the number one thing with the book, with the Miracle Morning for Parents and Families, that I think the thing that I want to make sure everybody understands is that this isn't just a book about doing a morning routine with your children. It's the biggest, longest book in the Miracle Morning series so far. There's 12 parenting profiles where I interviewed, Lindsay and I interviewed some of the most successful parents that we know. And so you're learning the wisdom of not just us, but them. And in addition to that, there's 3 chapters on parenting principles that have nothing, almost nothing to do with the actual Miracle Morning, that are just things to understand and to do and resources that you could utilize that would help you have a better family life and work better with your partner and to raise your children better outside of just the morning routine aspect of it. So think of that book as a family manual for how you could operate if you were going to be totally purposeful about how you led your family. And I'll say that in conjunction with this, and that is, we are not perfect parents. I am by far not a perfect parent. And you might read that book and think like, oh my God, this family is just crushing it and they're amazing. But I just want to be clear and vulnerable with everybody that we're not doing all of those things all of the time. Like if you showed up at our house expecting to see all of it in practice at all times, then you'd be sadly mistaken. And the reason I share that is because I don't want people to read it and go, well, I'm just not capable of doing all of that, so I won't do any of it. And what I want them to do is read it and take one thing and implement that next week. See how it goes. Maybe it sticks, maybe it doesn't. The next week, try something else. But there's advice on every aspect of family life in there, from travel to scheduling to partnerships to anything that could help support you as a family and as parents.
So great, man. Hey, what can I do to be a great friend to you right now? And what can our Front Row community do? So you've poured into us for the last hour, shared with us so much, opened up your life. How could, you know, if we've been inspired, which I know I have, but as a listener right now is saying, hey, what can I do to support Mike? What would be an ask that we could do to step up for you?
Yeah, you know, here's the thing is that I don't know if it's pride or ego or just whatever it is that I feel like I'm good. You know, if they really want to do something for me, go, you know, read the book. And if you loved it, go review it and give us a great review so we can do that. But if you were just going to pick one thing to do for me, here's what it would be is go out into the world and find somebody who doesn't believe in themselves and believe in them. Just one. Because the difference that would make if all of us did that is huge, because all of us have had the experience of someone else believing in us before we believed in ourselves. And that could be the single most impactful thing that any one human could do for another. So I would just ask that people be more aware of that. And the tendency may be there to bring people that down to reality and tell them, you know, that they should be more practical. And maybe there is a place for that, depending on what exactly they're trying to do. But for the most part, we just need to be better at believing in each other.
Mike, I believe in you, buddy, and I am thankful for you. I really appreciate this time today. I know that every minute is precious. And so for this call, for our time that's occurred in the past, the time that we're going to spend, I want to thank you for that, because you have been such a big part of my world. I want to thank you again for the impact that you've made on my family's life. I want to thank you for the hard work you're doing to be vulnerable. I love your honesty. I feel like you're one of the guys in my life that if I went to and said, Mike, dude, shoot me straight, you're going to give me the real deal answer. No hold back. And that to me is one of the most treasured gifts of all. I thank you for indirectly and directly making a difference to my family. You're definitely good for the world. No question, Team Human is better because of you. And I want to thank you, man, for writing the Miracle Morning book. I know that was a process. Your life is already maxed, not maxed, but you're living it to the max, I want to say, in every moment. But yet you still push this out there. And thank you for that. Can't wait to get together with you in October for the Dad's Retreat. If anybody's listening, you want to check that out, frontrowfactor.com/dads. And you can hang with Mike and I. Mike, where do they go get the book? Where do they go find more Mike McCarthy?
If you want to connect with me, you can hit me up on Facebook. I know Lindsay is working on our website, which is going to be gratefulparent.com. And other than that, man, that's probably it. I'm happy to connect with anybody who's interested in GoBundance or interested in real estate in the greater Philadelphia area. We didn't really get into the KW thing a whole lot, but that's another big part of my world. So if people are interested in those aspects of my life, I would love to connect with them.
Yeah. By the way, we didn't get into that, but I heard a number. Can I say the number I heard earlier before the call started?
Sure.
6,000 agents?
Yeah. Yeah. We're over 6,000 agents. And
that's insane.
Yeah.
That's totally nuts. Can I say that if they're in the Philly area, anywhere around here, and that's something they're interested in, could they come talk to you?
Yeah, absolutely. If they're interested in getting into real estate or a career in real estate, we've got 40 offices all throughout Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and Delaware. And we specialize in helping people to develop into great business owners within the real estate industry.
Mike, how great is it that we could have a chat for as long as we did, where I have 100 questions I want to ask you. We talked about so many amazing things. And the thing that we just like, oh, by the way, yeah, I happen to run a team, 6,000 agents, 40. Like, I mean, isn't that a great life?
It is.
That's
man.
A great life, man.
It's surreal
that's
in many
so
ways.
Cool. So. That's so cool that that's like the thing we didn't get to. I think it's actually like the perfect exclamation point on a wonderful call. All right, Mike, absolutely. I'm going to let you go, man. Can't wait to chat with you later, buddy. Take care.
Yep,
thanks.
Thanks. Bye.
Well, that's it for today. I hope you enjoyed that show with Mike McCarthy. I absolutely loved our chat. Make sure to pick up a copy of The Miracle Morning for Parents and Families on Amazon. And remember that a portion of every sale goes to support Front Row Foundation, where we help kids and adults who have a life-threatening illness to experience the live event of their dreams from the front row. And remember that it's not just about a single day. It's about that day becoming a metaphor for how we can live every day of our lives, no matter how much time we have. Our mission is to help people to crush fear, create epic moments, and to celebrate now before it's too late. So I want to thank you for supporting the Miracle Morning books. Thank you for supporting Front Row Foundation. Hey, during the show today, Mike and I talked about the Dad's Retreat, Front Row Dad's Retreat. Be the dad your kids deserve. We're going to have this event in October in Philadelphia. It's a 3-day live event, and we would love to have you check it out. So go to frontrowfactor.com/dads, where you can apply to learn more about that experience. I also want to invite you to share this episode today with somebody that you think could get great value. What parent do you know that is interested in becoming the best parent they can be? Hey, why don't you share this episode with them? I have a personal policy that every time I listen to a podcast or read a book, I ask myself, who's one person that I could share this with? So please share this episode with somebody that could get great value. And if you're loving these shows and you're having a great time, I have a favor to ask. Would you please, pretty please, with sugar on top, go to frontrowfactor.com/review and leave us a rating and a review. The more of those that we get on iTunes, the more people hear about our show and the more people can learn about, you know, how to live life in the front row and about the charity and all the good happens as a result of that. So I read every review personally, and I want to thank you in advance if you haven't done so. And if you have written a review in the past, thanks. I know we've got over 150 5-star reviews on iTunes, and I couldn't be any happier with the response of the show. So that's the fuel that keeps us going. So if you love the show, please do that. And finally, catch up with me on social. Let's hang out on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter. You can catch me on all three at John Vroman, JonVroman. And I would love to say hello. That's it for today, everybody. We'll catch you next time. Until then, keep living your life in the front row.
That's all for this episode of The Front Row Factor. To discover more simple and effective ways to lead a fearless front row life, visit frontrowfactor.com and subscribe to John's 4 Minutes in the Front Row, where he shares quick stories from real life experiences. Thanks again for joining us today. We hope our show inspires you to live big, give big, and experience life to the fullest. See you next week on The Front Row Factor.